God's grace and peace to you. You know, as we start off the story, I confess to you, as I think some of you already know, I'm a bit of a movie buff. I really enjoy the creativity, the imagination, the emotions, and especially the true-to-life stories that are often told in films. And it is with that as a metaphor, I'd like you to think about this journey of the story. When you think of the different genre of movies, we're going to see the different genre of stories in the overarching story that is contained in the Bible. Think about it for a minute. Think of the comedies, you know, the family comedies like Toy Story, or think of the stories of good versus evil like the Harry Potter films, maybe an action drama, or perhaps the inspiring overcoming stories like Rocky or Creed. There's even the disaster films like the Airport series or 2012. Most of all, the story is a romance. It's the story of the creator of this universe, of all space and time and everything in it, who loved his people so much that he was willing to go to any means, communicate in any way, even ultimately dying for us, to win us back into a love relationship with himself. That's the heart of the story, and we're going to enjoy learning more about that throughout all of the different sub-stories or mini-stories within the Bible, as we go through the journey of the story together. In some ways, it's kind of sad how little of the Bible is understood by God's people today. Here's a take on this, just how much we don't know about the Bible. Let's watch this little drama here together.
That leaves one untouched category, the Bible. Cindy, where would you like to begin?
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 200.
For 200, the answer is Genesis. Yes, Jeremy.
What is the name of the device used to create a planet in that Star Trek movie?
No. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Yes, Cindy.
What is the name of Phil Collins' band?
No. No, I'm sorry, that's also incorrect. No, players! Players, remember the category is the Bible.
My buzzer's still not working.
Press firmly, Ron. Correct response. What is the first book of the Bible? Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Throw open the cover, there it is. All right. Cindy, still your board.
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 400.
For 400, the answer is, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Yes, Cindy.
What is freedom of speech?
No. That would be the Bill of Rights. Yes, Jeremy.
What is thou shalt not do anything?
Judges, can we accept that? No, I'm sorry, can you be a bit more specific, please?
What is thou shalt not commit forgery?
No. Sorry. Ron? Well, there are 10 of them you could have picked from. Know the gods, keep the Sabbath, honor your mother and father, no adultery.
I meant that one.
Yes, I'm sure you did. Cindy, still your board.
I'll take the Bible for 600.
For 600, the answer is, they're called epistles. Yes, Jeremy.
What was Jesus' crown made out of?
No. Yes, Cindy.
What is the wife of an apostle?
No, that's incorrect. You? Correct response. What is a letter from an apostle? Letter from an apostle. Cindy, still your board.
Okay, I will take...
Only two clues remaining, Cindy.
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 800.
For 800, the answer is... All right, listen to me very carefully. Ron, listen to me very carefully. This person took two of every living animal into a huge boat to survive the great flood. Cindy.
Who is Mr. Doolittle?
No. Yes, Jeremy.
Who is Dr. Doolittle? No.
Yes. Yes,
it worked. The buzzer worked.
Yes, Ron. Well, yes, go ahead.
Who is Joan of Arc?
No. No, it was Noah. Have you never heard of Noah? Two by two, the animals came. Well, that sound means it's time for our final round.
You might be saying to yourself that drama isn't all that far from the truth. So many people don't know this story. They don't know the actions. They don't know the highs and the lows. They don't know the romance. People just think of it as a dusty book full of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. But what an opportunity is before us as these next 31 weeks we spend together learning about God, His love, and where you and I fit together in His story. You might be wondering, why is it called the story? Why don't we just call it a 31-week journey through the Bible together? Well, I think it gets at a point that we want to understand. It isn't just thou shalts and thou shalt nots. It's not just people of ancient history that we're going to have to memorize, like we used to have to memorize the name of presidents when we were in elementary school. The story is true. Millions of people, billions of people have lived and died. And God has chosen to include some stories of some of these people into His book, His overarching story, to show us the opportunity we have to join together with Him, to show us through the good, the bad, and the ugly, what it is that God is doing in this world and for all eternity, and what it is He is inviting us to experience. So are you ready to be a part of the story, this journey together with us? As we head into this journey together, let's be clear about a few things. The story, the Bible, does not answer every question that we have ever had. It is not a scientific or in terms of how we would think of it today, a historic, perfect, includes every single detail kind of book. But what the story does do, as we heard in our epistle reading today, is that it enables us to be wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, the God who started the story, the one who knows how it will end, and the part that all of us will play in it, that God wants to speak clearly to us so we could know what we need to know in order to live a fulfilling life, in order to be assured that we are aligned with God and His eternal purposes, and that we will spend eternity with Him and all those that we love who have gone before us in His story. The author of life is doing something meaningful and something really masterful. And by sharing His story with us, He's inviting us to participate in His eternal story. It's really fantastic. He wants us and invites us not only to be comforted, but to be participants in the unfolding of this story as it goes on until the time when He concludes the book and brings us all together to be with Him forever. God, the author of life, is inviting you to participate in His grand eternal story. That's pretty amazing. Personally, I love stories. I love that God has shared his story with us so that this life and this world makes just a little bit more sense. And I so appreciate that God wrote my name in his book of life, in God's story. That leads us to a final reason why we want to study the story together. It's so we can know Jesus better. Who he was, who he is, what he did, why it matters, and how we also can be like him in how we live, how we believe, how we think, how we speak, how we act. This is so important. You and I are not called Bibleites. We're called Christians. To a people who love God's word, who studied it, Jesus said this, and as we heard in today's gospel reading from John chapter 5, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Our point with journeying through the story is not just that we diligently study the scriptures. It's so we understand, we let the story help us understand who Jesus is and what he did and what it means. We then, as we understand him, can better trust in the author of life, the author of our stories, and can better imitate him as we participate in his story of changing and loving and blessing and saving the world. Christians know that God's word is important. Lutheran Christians in particular have a statement that says that scripture is our sole rule and norm for faith and life. But again, this is not just so that we know the Bible for the sake of knowing the Bible. It's so that we know the saving gospel, the saving truth of the rescue mission that comes from the heart of God, the mission of Jesus Christ, giving his life as a sacrifice on the cross for your sins and mine, and offering to us eternal life. When we're clear about scripture, then we're clear and really understand the story. I want you to look at our theme graphic for the story for a moment. Notice that it is a king's crown, and yet underneath it, in a bit of a shadow, is a crown of thorns. And this is very intentional because it illustrates an important way we understand God's story. That there is a lower story that we see and are aware that we're participating in, or others before us have participated in. And there is an upper story of what God has been doing, what he has been planning, what he is striving to accomplish in the big picture of things. In the lower picture, the crown of thorns is what we see of what Jesus went through, suffering on the cross, giving his life what looked like failure and defeat and death. But God knew that this was a part of the path. That's why Jesus said the Son of Man has to give his life as a ransom for many. But God, in his overarching story, had planned for his Son Jesus Christ to do what you and I cannot do. To live a perfect life. He planned for Jesus to offer himself as a sacrifice to pay the price for our sins and the sins of a world that had tuned out the story and the will and the heart of God. In his overarching story, God loved a world that had turned its back on him and was coming himself to die for us. So what we saw as defeat and suffering and death on a cross and a crown of thorns, God knew was just one moment in the overarching story of the whole Bible, of his whole story of salvation. It's that theme, it's that set of lenses, kind of like those older of us who need the part of our glasses to look at things near and the other part to look at things far away. Maybe that's another way for the analogy to work. But it's that understanding that we are, as we look through the Bible, we'll see the lower story and see how the participants like Noah, David, Abraham, Jesus, Paul, Peter, so many others, see how they, on an earthly level, their stories fit into the grand overarching story of what it is that God is accomplishing. And I truly believe that each and every time we get clearer about someone's smaller or lower story, it helps us realize that our story has meaning, that God is working through the events of our life, that there is no part of your story and mine that is wasted, but the God who loves us is finding a way to weave the good and even the bad into His purposes, into His overarching, larger, upper story of love and salvation. That can be a real comfort for us, friends, and we will get clearer about that in the weeks and months as we go through this entire journey of the story. Now, here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to invite you each week to begin reading the scriptures for the next chapter. So we're officially starting. The very first chapter of the story is creation, the beginning of life as we know it. That's chapter one. That will be next Sunday's focus. You can start reading today the scriptures that will get you ready so that as we experience that message or as we go through our Bible study or as we do individual journaling or gathering in life groups, that all of it will be there in our hearts and minds and souls, ready for God to weave it together and give it meaning. With that said, here are those scriptures. Reading from Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1, and to Genesis 2, verse 9. Then starting again at Genesis 2, verse 15, and reading up to verse 25. Genesis 3, verses 1, all the way through chapter 4, verse 8, is the next section. Then, trying to explain a little bit about the expansion of population, we move to Genesis 6, starting at verse 5, all the way to Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. The next reading after that begins with Genesis 7, verse 4, and continues with Genesis 7, starting at verse 6 and up to verse 10, and concluding with Genesis 7 from verse 13, all the way to Genesis 8, verse 5. The next to last reading for this week is Genesis 8, verses 13 through 21. And the final reading is Genesis 9, verses 1 and 2, along with verses 8 through 13 and verse 16. As we've said, we're not reading every single verse, but together in these 31 weeks, we will meet the main characters and we will better understand how these individual stories fit together with the overarching story of what God is doing. We'll print all of these readings for you in Monday's devotion. By the way, notice that there's seven of them. Maybe we planned it that way. Or maybe, just maybe, you could choose to read one little portion a day or read all 12 pages, is about what it works out to be in the Story Bible. Read all 12 pages at one sitting and then chew on it, meditate on it, reflect on it, and use the seven questions as a way to go even deeper with it. Now let's talk a bit about the seven questions and three challenges we want to continually give you all throughout the story journey. These questions are meant for us to really take into our hearts and our minds and, Lord willing, into our behavior. What we read, what we come to understand of God's story. So here are the seven questions. What did you learn about God, yourself, and others in this chapter? How do the events of this chapter relate to the overall story of God's pursuit of us and His redemption of people? What did you struggle to understand or embrace from this reading? What is your one or two sentence summary of this chapter? In response to what you read, what's a prayer? a petition or an appreciation, a prayer you would offer to God. How does this chapter point to Jesus or challenge you to be more like Him? What's something you learned that you will share with others? These 7 questions will guide us in a very personal way in our journey through God's story. Now, let's talk about the 3 challenges. Let me call it 3.5 challenges if you don't mind. My half challenges, I want to encourage you to worship with us each week. Now, I know it's a challenge to be in church every Sunday, but perhaps God has arranged things in this time when we are posting our services and our messages on Facebook, on YouTube, the audio portion on our website, so that at a time that fits your schedule, you can engage in this with us. But I offer the challenge to you, worship with us every week and really take in what it is God's going to work and do by His Spirit in our time together, reflecting on and giving thanks for that week's portion of the story. Now, the real challenges. First, I want to encourage you to accept this challenge. I will personally do this journey through the story. Now, for you, that might mean a prayer every day after the devotion. It might mean pausing to journal, but engage in some way in this. Engage in this and ask God to speak to you to make His story clearer to you. The second challenge is, I will lead or participate in a group going through the story. For you, that might mean your family. It might mean our weekly Bible study on Sunday morning at 10:30, or it might be one of our life groups. But I encourage you to add another layer to your focus on the story, to engage in it, to dialogue with it with other people, and really, again, allow God to find different ways to share it into our ears, into our minds, and into our hearts. And the third challenge is, I will choose to align my life with God's story. God's going to speak to us in these next 31 weeks. Sometimes He'll whisper. Sometimes He will hold us close to comfort us. Sometimes He may put a hand firmly on our shoulder and say, "You know, I want to look you in the eye and tell you something." But whatever way it is, when you sense God prompting you in a way that your life can become stronger, more secure, as you walk closer to Jesus, then let the story help you do that. "Come follow me," our Savior said. And Jesus is still calling to us today to know the story well and to follow the author of the story, living as He would live, loving as He would love, serving as He indeed served. So that's our 3 challenges as we go through this. I want to wrap all this up. That's sort of, you know, the who, what, where, when, and how. But I want to wrap all of this up by grabbing just one thread out of God's story and letting you see the little parts and then the big overarching part. The story, as we're going to discover when you do your reading in Genesis, the story starts in a garden. Now, Adam and Eve placed there in that beautiful place with all that God provided for them. There's another garden that people at Gethsemane are pretty familiar with. It's the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed before one of the most difficult days of His life. He prayed there some of the most emotional prayers, seeking the strength of God. Fast forward just a few hours, and we hear Jesus speaking to a thief on the cross. That thief had asked for mercy, and Jesus says to him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Well, what's the connection? The ancient Hebrews, when they wanted to translate their Bible, the Old Testament as we know it, when they wanted to translate that into Greek, a language that was more universally known throughout the world, when they looked for a word to translate the word in Genesis 3 for garden, they selected paradiso. When Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, he prayed in Gethsemane's paradiso. And when Jesus spoke to that thief on the cross, yes, you can probably guess where I'm going. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradiso. In other words, a story that started in the garden is a story where you and I will end in a beautiful garden-like paradise with God. The most beautiful garden we can ever imagine. Bug-free, weed-free, and beautiful beyond description. So the next time you work in your garden, or the next time you see some pictures of beautiful flowers, let that link you together with God's story that started in a garden, proceeded and went forward as Jesus himself prayed in a garden, and then as he offered and promised the garden of paradise to all who turn to and trust in him. Friends, God is waiting to give that same gift in assurance and peace to you and me, to all of us, for all time. And now may he strengthen you with the assurance that he has written your name in his book of life, in his story. Amen.